The State Department of Public Instruction has released its first assessment of Wisconsin schools since before the pandemic. The DPI report cards released earlier this week show that although test scores have declined since before the pandemic, 95% of school districts in the state met or exceeded expectations. But the DPI changed its metrics and goals for schools in order to adjust for the wide-reaching effects the pandemic has had on schools. We're talking about the state of Wisconsin schools, how the pandemic continues to affect them, and how to measure the impact of the pandemic on schools and how much kids are learning. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a kid in Wisconsin schools? If so, how did the pandemic impact their learning? Have you noticed learning gaps? Maybe they kept up even through remote learning. If you're a parent, a teacher, a student yourself, what has the return to normal, quote unquote, been like for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Alan Borsak is a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School and an education columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Alan, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Always glad to be here.
All right, there's this report card, and there's a lot of yeah buts as you look at it. Big picture, Alan, as you look at this thing, I mean, can we glean useful information about what happened to learning during the pandemic from it?
Yeah, but that's a good way of summarizing things. Yeah, there's useful information in there, but you don't need me to tell you that last year was really abnormal, and this year ain't so normal either. So that has to be considered in any assessment of how kids are doing, whether it's enrollment, whether it's test scores, whether it's, in this case, report cards, which are supposed to bring together a lot of data about schools, both district by district and individually. So they're all, just this enormous asterisk. That said, yeah, you can see a picture emerging here, and it's not too surprisingly, it's got a lot of reason to be concerned. Almost everything was down last year, especially at schools that were not in person for large hunks, if not all of the year. That's not, frankly, I'm not going to take a stand on whether that was a good idea or not compared to COVID. Mm. But there's no question there was an educational price paid overall, and you can see it in the data here.
What kind of things do you see in the data that show that cost? I mean, I think there's a general consensus that there is a hit, but is it a blip? Is it something long-term? As you look at the data in this report card, recent test scores, what kind of things worry you from what you're seeing?
Well, enrollment statewide is a serious issue. There were a large number of children, young children, 4-, 5-, and 6-year-olds, kindergarten and first grade, that were not in school last year, and a lot of schools were expecting them to come back this year, that the parents maybe kept them home as a precaution and out of fear last year. In the case of, say, a district like Milwaukee, which is still the big kid on the block when it comes to school districts in Wisconsin, there was some return, but not what was expected. Statewide, there was a slight decline in enrollment. In some places, there was substantial decline in enrollment this year. Ultimately, that speaks to a changing population in the state, but also changing interest in what parents are looking for in schools, or maybe increases in private schools and at-home education. It's a little too early to get all the data on that. But, there's change going on. And when it comes to academics, statewide and in many of the districts serving the highest need kids in Wisconsin, the picture was not pretty. A very large number of kids didn't take tests last year. I mean, if the state DPI had had its way, it would have dropped all the tests and the report cards, but the federal government wouldn't allow that, and state law didn't allow that. And scores were down. Reading scores were really pretty terrible. Math scores were not so great. Everything had down arrows last year, and even if there's an understandable reason for that, it has to be regarded as very concerning.
Republicans in the state legislature are looking for a new reading assessment, a new test for kids with that reading gap, that reading loss in mind. What do you think of that idea and the best way to do it if we do that?
Well, their proposal was to screen kids, give tests to kids at the early grades through second grade, and identify them and give them more attention. A lot of this has to do with the legacy and the continuing nature of the so-called reading wars between whole language people and phonics people. It's a case where everybody's right and everybody's wrong, in my book. Everybody's right in that there were flaws in the Republican idea, and there are certainly flaws in not doing anything. And everybody's wrong in, I sigh, obviously, that this seems, reading just seems to be like something, can't we all come together over reading? It's so obvious that something needs to be done. Reading scores are not good statewide. They're especially not good among populations of low-income kids and minority kids, Milwaukee, Beloit, Madison, Green Bay, you name it. I mean, in Milwaukee for many, many years, only about 20% of kids in both private and public schools were reading at a proficient or advanced level, and it just hasn't changed. They say, isn't this something we can come together around? And yet, in this highly polarized, highly partisan world, and especially within the Capitol in Madison, that just doesn't happen.
We're talking about the state of education in Wisconsin post-pandemic. Alan Borsak is with us. He is a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School and an education columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are you seeing in your family, in your school, in your local district? Do you worry that a political divide is getting in the way of doing the best things for kids in schools and how they learn? What has 2021 looked like in your school so far, whether you're a student, a teacher, a parent? What are you seeing? Is there a lot of learning loss, do you think? Are you bouncing back? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Alan, is there something with a proven track record that if people did come together, say in the Milwaukee district when it comes to reading, do we know what would work?
Again, we get back to the reading wars. In my book, what really works is obviously really good teaching, and sometimes that can be from a whole different set of approaches. It can be an array of approaches, but really strengthening teaching of reading and the qualifications for teachers and supporting them with mentoring and such is not going on very much and would really help. As far as specific approaches, you've got very strong advocates for what they would call the science of reading, which would be more oriented towards phonics and fundamental approaches. The state, what I would call reading establishment, which would include the organization called the Wisconsin State Reading Association, which is the reading teachers group, and a lot of the unions and the State School Board Association, the DPI itself, are more into what used to be called a whole language, now has kind of been relabeled as balanced reading. I would feel better about what the establishment was doing if it was working, but there's just no change. They say maybe it's time to listen to people who want to do things differently because what we're doing isn't going so well.
You mentioned the partisan divide over education. Obviously a big political football. We've had conversations on this show about, you know, the Virginia governor's race, critical race theory, political divides over masks. You and I have talked about the partisan divide in education over the years. Has it somehow managed to get even more divided than it already was?
Certainly seems that way. And you've got such heat. Not, you know, I think maybe it's been a little overstated about school board meetings where there's fistfights and that kind of thing. That's still fairly rare, but where there's big differences and really kind of a gridlock over doing things, that seems to be becoming more common, whether it's over race issues, the so-called critical race theory, over COVID policies. I mean, masks and testing and such, vaccinations, people just are extreme in their views. I was at an event last week with leaders of a bunch of different schools in Milwaukee, different streams of schools. Almost every one of them said to me, this year is worse than last year as far as stress, as far as just keeping things going, because they're trying to keep the schools open. They're just exhausted. You've got a number of schools, I think a growing number, that are going to take all of Thanksgiving week off just because everyone's so exhausted, especially the teachers. So it's tough out there, and it's this stress and divisiveness that's enhancing that problem.
Talking to Alan Borsuk, Senior Fellow in Law and Public Policy at Marquette University Law School, education columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're looking at the latest news about schools in the state, their post-pandemic recovery, what's happening to test scores. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're connected with a school in any way, are you feeling that stress that Alan was just talking about? Is this a hard year for you, your student, if you're a teacher, a staff member at a school? Are you feeling this? Is this year tougher than last year? If you have thoughts on the reading debate, phonics versus what Alan said used to be called whole language learning, love to hear from you as well. Do you have opinions on what it would take, thoughts on what it would take to make kids better readers? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our look at student learning during the pandemic. New data on Wisconsin K-12 students came out this week. Education columnist Alan Borsuk stays with us, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. What are you seeing in your school, whether you're a student, a teacher, a parent, on the staff? What are things like in your community? Is this a rough school year, rougher than even last year, according to some, as Alan said? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Kay is with us in Appleton. Kay, hello.
Hi. I'm an educator here in Appleton, and I know you're talking about the recovery to get our reading scores back up, but a lot of Wisconsin, as well as some of the socially economic, like, lower schools that we have, we're still not at a point that we can recover. We're still helping our kids with, like, their family members that might not be able to work with a whole bunch of things. We have kids that are homeless because of the pandemic and everything. So I know that you're talking about the recovery of everything, but what are we doing to make sure that we can still help support so that way we can eventually get to the recovery? Because a lot of our families that these kids are coming from are still in crisis.
Kay, if I could ask, it sounds like there's a lot of work there before you could even get to what we think of as education, right? You're trying to meet some needs before you can even start learning again.
Yeah, like, we really just have to be there for the kids. And so, like, what if you're saying that we're trying to get our reading scores back up already, what type of programs are going to help make sure that we can help support our families that are extra stressed still, and then also going to make sure that we can work on those things? Because we do that. We have so many facets of our job. I just don't see how we're supposed to be continuing already to help. We're just trying to get them sustained to try to get to their regular grade level reading, and it's still really tough right now.
Okay, thanks so much for sharing that. Alan, I'm guessing Kay's not alone in schools around the state saying, hey, we're just trying to catch up with the damage from last year, much less, you know, get back on track with learning.
I think what she's saying is really important, and I'm sure she's speaking for lots of teachers in lots of parts of the state. And it's important, but it's also sad because, I think COVID and COVID policy and fights over COVID policy and just the needs of kids and families have almost pushed aside normal learning in so many situations, or at least damped it down. And the reason I say it's sad is that I don't have a better solution. I mean, people's needs need to be addressed. Health comes first. At the same time, you say, hey, you know, you're only in third grade once. You're only in 10th grade once. And the loss that's going on, ultimately, there'll be a price to be paid for this in terms of people thriving educationally. I mean, I take it very seriously that successful schooling opens the doors to all sorts of things beyond schooling years. And I worry that we're just not going to have that door so wide open because we're paying such a price now.
Okay, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Alan, we had a caller call in with a little correction for me. I think I used a phrase like post-pandemic or after the pandemic.
Yeah.
We're still in a pandemic here. How, and schools are still worried about, you know, health and masking and outbreaks, and we've had outbreaks in schools in the state and elsewhere. I mean, how much is this still existing pandemic weighing on what we can actually accomplish in classrooms?
Well, there's no one answer, and a lot of it, frankly, correlates with the political orientations of communities, that red Wisconsin is handling things differently than blue Wisconsin, masking policies and so on. The Marquette Law School poll, which just came out today, and that's one of the things I work on at the law school, found that nationwide, worrying about the pandemic is down among all groups compared to a year ago, but it's still pretty high. And it tends to be down much more sharply among Republicans than among Democrats. So it's still a big worry. I think if you look in the Milwaukee area, the blue communities are mostly still using masks in school and being pretty strict about it. And that's not only the public schools, but most of the private schools. And the red communities, the suburbs that are in the outer ring, Waukesha, Ozaukee County, and so on, are mostly not masking. Who's right? Man, I'm not going to answer that question. but it is taking a toll. So it's still tough. And in both cases, I'm sure, for the school leaders and for teachers, like the caller from Appleton, just keeping things going, keeping kids on track, dealing with the issues that people are bringing into the school building, both adults and kids, man, it is so difficult. It is so stressful.
Thanks for that comment at 800-642-1234. Talking to education columnist Alan Borsuk about the state of Wisconsin schools. Year and a half into the pandemic, seen some declines in test scores, school report cards. Still time for your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Alan, though, I did want to ask about a piece you wrote a couple few weeks back. You went looking for some bright spots in the Milwaukee area, and you wish there were more, but can you highlight a couple of things you found that that gave you some optimism?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I was about to write based on the test scores that had come out statewide and for Milwaukee and the Milwaukee area. I was about to write what I thought would probably be the most depressing column I'd ever written, because they were bad. And it happened to be the day that the Hmong American Peace Academy, which is almost 2,000 students, and almost all of them are from Hmong ethnic backgrounds, really special school that's just boomed in the last 15 years, was dedicating a new high school wing, $30 million wing. It's beautiful. And so I went there saying, I got to say something positive. And then I named a number of other schools, and they do exist, and they exist in all three streams of schools in Milwaukee, the public school system, the private schools, and the charter schools have a disproportionate number of them. They tend to be schools that are very ambitious about what their kids are going to achieve. They tend to be very cheerful places. People think they must be really strict, hard-nosed places. Hardworking, dedicated staffs, very stable in their student enrollment. They don't have as much turnover as a lot of schools. The school culture, just the atmosphere in the place, which is actually a huge ingredient of a school's success, is so positive. So there are a lot of schools, even before the pandemic, this is a long time problem, where their goal seems to be just, let's get through the day. And then there are other schools where they say, we're really out to do great stuff. And you can see the difference in the two. So, yeah, I could name 15 schools off the top of my head in Milwaukee that I'd say, these are really good schools. Unfortunately, there's way more than 15 schools in Milwaukee.
Let's go back to our callers now. Katie is with us in Sheboygan. Katie, hello.
Hi. I'm a teacher. I teach not in Sheboygan, but close by. And I have a student whose parent just died last week from COVID, and her other parent is in the hospital with COVID. So, you know, one of the things that a lot of students are dealing with here is the emotional toll that it's taking. And the idea that they could continue learning through this is kind of crazy.
Katie, thanks for that call. Alan, we've had conversations on the show about the availability of mental health care for students pre-pandemic. A bigger issue, as Katie points out, is students dealing with grief and fear and confusion during the pandemic. Do you see that as a big part of the story?
Well, yes. And the situation she's talking about is obviously really, really sad and dramatic. But even a more routine situation of just the stresses of being at home all last year and being away from your friends and worrying about the future, the whole social emotional toll on kids is getting much attention nationwide. It's one of the few things that there was some agreement between Republicans and Democrats in the state budget to increase funding for social emotional services to kids and social workers and school psychologists and general services. So there's a lot of attention to this, but the need way outstrips what's available. That's pretty clear. So, yeah, it's a huge issue.
Katie, thanks a lot for that call. And our last just under a minute or so, Alan, what do you have your eye on next to see how schools are recovering here?
If they can stay open. As we know, the numbers are high and rising in Wisconsin. So if schools in large numbers have to close, and just if there's gauges of how much can the needle be moved, and it's not easy, back towards focusing on education and not just keeping some stability in lives that are so unstable. So my hope would be things will ease. Was that really going to happen? I don't know. But we'll pay a big price on a certain level if we don't educate kids, and that's an enterprise that's very difficult at the moment.
Alan, thanks again for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Alan Borsak is a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School and education columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Joined us today for a look at the latest data on K-12 student performance in Wisconsin and how schools are trying to recover after a year and a half of pandemic.